Now, we're talking about God, his description, characteristics of him, asking the question, who is he? Trying to get to know this God that the Bible puts forth, and looking at some specific things about him. If you were here a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God is a spirit, and we talked about that biblical concept. If you were also here, you remember the beautiful artistry of the umbrella that was up here on the whiteboard. I'm seeing some smiles. It was not beautiful, but it was up there, okay? And it was an umbrella type, but if you remember the top part, we had God at his essence, okay? If you think about God in terms of you have the top of the umbrella, this is everything about God, okay? And then underneath that umbrella, we have his nature, okay? So these are some things that are true about him, such as his spirituality, okay, such as his unity, his trinity. You know, these are things that are all about his nature, okay. And then we could say his attributes, what characterizes him. Well, he's a loving God. He's, you know, on and on. Okay, so if you kind of put things in that realm, you kind of follow the tree by which we're working. And last time we talked about the fact that he is a spirit. Okay, this time we're going to look at his personality. Okay, now when we talked about God and his personality, this is important because some people view God as strictly just some type of a force. Okay, the Hinduism, and pantheism would say that God is just, he's represented in everything, okay, the animals and so forth. That's why India and a lot of Hinduism, you know, they put great respect upon certain animals, and that they treat them as gods because they believe that, you know, God is represented in that, or that animal is God, is a representation of God. So these are some really funny things because of the fact that they pick and choose who God's going to be represented in. For instance, there are like five, and I wrote these down. I thought these were kind of funny, but there's like five animals that they really have a lot of respect for. The cow would be one of them, a monkey, a snake, an elephant, and a tiger. Okay, why these and why not others? I don't know. Okay, it's just sort of what they do. And because of that, they treat these animals as royalty, and well, that's God. You better be careful with that cow, you know. That's a holy cow, right? So this is pantheism. They see God in everything. You know, God is some type of force, and he is the universe. Okay, we could say it that way, okay? But the God of the Bible is described quite differently than this. And so, you know, what, if any, type of personality does God have? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Is God a mere force of nature, or is God a real person? Now, how many of you have ever taken a personality test before? Ever taken a personality test? Okay, quite a few. I was surprised this morning how many have. How many of you say, I know emphatically, I know what my personality is. I know what it is. And there's like four main ones, and then you've got like subcategories and things like that. Okay. How many of you say, I know what my personality is? I know what it is. Okay. All right. And it's hard because, you know, as you get older, you know, your personality may continue to develop and that sort of thing. So let me just give you this. I was reading an article recently, and the article sort of categorized personalities into four different categories. And you may have heard these before. You may have heard some other ones. Okay, but this is what they say. Nonetheless, personalities, right? They would say this study categorized in four different ways. Number one, the first category was what they called average. Okay, this is the most common type. Are people who are high in extroversion while lower in openness. Okay, so you maybe have heard it categorized as extrovert or something like that. Okay, the second category they have here is reserved. People in this type are not open, but they are emotionally stable. They tend to be introverted and agreeable and conscious of many things. Okay, so that's the second one. Third, it would be role models. These people are natural leaders. You say, oh, that's me, natural leader, right? With low levels, high levels of agreeableness, extroversion, openness, and conscientiousness. They listen to new ideas and are reliable. So that's the third one. And the fourth one that they have listed here is self-centered. You're like, oh, that's not me, okay? While these people score high in extroversion, they rank below average in openness, agreeableness, and conscientiousness, okay? So this is just one of many studies, and every time one of these studies comes out, they say, oh, this is the groundbreaking science that explains how everybody thinks and works and acts, okay? So it's kind of funny in the sense that these things are constantly changing, but anyway, personalities, okay? You may say, well, hey, you know what? I know my personality, and I love it, okay? You may be on an opposite end of that and say, you know what, I know my personality and I hate it. Boy, I wish I was different than I am. Or you may be some guys who say, I have no personality. Okay, all right. That's actually a personality type, believe it or not, okay, if you think that. But at any rate, okay, we all have personalities, whether we want them to be something that they're not or like them because of what they are. As we look to the Word of God, we do see the fact that God has a personality to him. And we want to look at that. So as we're kind of looking into this, we're going to find that a personality is basically made up of three things, and that is emotions, will, and intellect. If God is a real person, we're going to look at whether or not he is a real person or an impersonal force. But we can understand from what the Bible says that he is indeed a real person. He has emotions. He has intellect. And some of the verses we're going to look at here will prove that. So number one, notice this, okay? How do we prove that God has a personality to him? Okay, we can look at the names that he's been given, the names that he's been given. All right, as some of you are taking notes, once you do that, go ahead over to Genesis 22. I want us all to look at this. Genesis 22. And this is important not for me, okay? It is for me personally, but this should be important to you, okay? I hope that you don't grow up just thinking that God is just some type of individual that sits in heaven and just does whatever he wants regardless of who we are, okay? You know, Hollywood can give you that description of God, but that's not what the Bible says. When our understanding of God is accurate and correct, it helps us better understand how we can have a relationship with him. Genesis chapter 22, notice with me verse 13 here. Genesis 22, verse 13 and 14. Notice what it says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Okay, so you kind of pick up the context of what's happening here. This is Abraham and Isaac on the mount there. God provides a lamb, and that's exactly what Jehovah Jireh means. It means that God provides. He is a provider. This is a description of what we know God to be. An impersonal force does not knowingly provide. Providing for someone requires emotion, will, and intellect. God is a provider. And in order to do so, he has to have a mind, will, and an intellect. You know, I thought it was neat, and I'm sure that many of you could give a very, very same situation, hopefully you've seen in your own life. But you know, God not only provided for us in areas of, you know, salvation and sanctification, growing in him, but, you know, he also cares about our everyday things. You know, I think it was last week we were just looking for some boots for the boys to play out in the snow and that sort of thing, and they had grown out of the ones that we had previous, and so we were just looking for some. And I remember it was a couple of years ago. It was like the day before we were supposed to get a major snow, and that was like 2016, I think it was. But anyway, I was like, oh, I need some boots. I don't have any, right? Grew up in Florida, don't have any boots. So I went to Walmart, and man, there was hardly anything there. There was just, I mean, everybody had already gotten all of the boots, and I was left with these things that are not very comfortable. I still have them. But at any rate, okay, we were looking for these boots. And we said, well, we go to Walmart, right, and just see what they have. And I was like, well, you know what? I mean, it's already snow. That they probably don't have a lot of options there. So it was just kind of, what was that? It sounded like a chainsaw. What is it? Oh, that's hilarious. That cracks me up. We got people on the roof. That's funny. You think we get a speaker and they could hear us preaching? Isn't that hilarious? They're like cutting something up there. What? Is the leaf blowing? Yeah, that's so funny. That's hilarious. I'm used to being in our townhome here and stuff like that, but never in the teen room here and stuff like that. All right. We got to stay focused here. I apologize. Got distracted. What are we talking about? Oh, the Lord provides, right? Okay. So anyway, we're talking about it, and Christine's like, you know, what do you think? And we order online. He's talking about $30, $40 boots and that sort of thing. And she decided she was going to check one place. Where'd you end up at, Ross? Rosh, you ended up at Ross. How many of you like to shop at Ross? You go to Rosh? Ross is awesome. Anyway, she goes and she goes to the section where they sell boots, all right, and they have two pairs of boots left for kids. And who would have thought they're just the sizes for Philip and Andrew? Okay. God provides. All right, now was that a life or death situation? No. Okay. All right. To Andrew Lawrence, absolutely. Okay. But for us, no. It was a matter of about, you know, spending $20 more, and they were a great deal, right? They're a great deal, incredible deal. How much did we get it for a piece? $11. Okay. Snow boots, $11. You don't get that. Okay. But that's just God cares about us, and you know, if He was just some force, right? Okay. If He was just some God that sits in heaven, no personality whatsoever, there's no reason why He would do that for us. And yet He does those type of things for us all the time. His name's proved that. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Other examples of that, the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh Ra, Psalm 23:1. Again, a wonderful illustration of how the Lord cares for His sheep. John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, a shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And that's just the approach that He takes to us as his sheep or as His children, whatever analogy you want to use in Scripture. You look at Exodus chapter 3. Let's go there. We're not far away. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Exodus 3, verse 14. Many of you will remember this. Notice what it says. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. What is He saying there? He's the self-existent one. Oh my. All kinds of sounds this morning in Sunday school. He's the self-existent one. Okay, so again, we have Him and these names personifying His personality. Okay, each of these names indicates something more than a force. It indicates a mind, a will, an emotion, someone who can think, plan, and do. Personal pronouns in the Scripture prove that He is a person. Let's go to the second thing, though. His names prove it. Number two, His contrast with idols prove it. And I think this is a really neat point. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. I want everybody to see this. I know some of you are still taking notes, but just as soon as you can. Jeremiah chapter 10. The Lord here contrasts Himself with idols, and I love this. Look at what it says. Jeremiah chapter 10. We'll notice verse 3, starting verse 3. For the custom of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. Verse 4, they deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails, with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appear. For as much as among all the wise men and all the nations and all kingdoms, there is none like unto thee, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into places is brought from Tarshish, and gold, Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and the hands of the founder, blue and purple in their clothing. They are all the work of the cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. All right, so this is a description here, the first six verses or so. There's a contrast going on, and they're talking about idols. It's a work of man's hand, and they don't do anything. Okay, they are inanimate objects. They just sit there. They don't have the ability to discern or to think or to express emotion in any such way, which is really sad, considering that there's a whole lot of people that are caught up in idol worship even today. I mean, this is not something that's just, you know, exclusive to the Old Testament. Okay, there are people and religions that are so caught up in idol worship today and deceived by that. But God says, in contrast to these idols that literally have no power and can do nothing, I'm quite the opposite of that. So we see the contrast with idols proves that. So what does God do? What does he do? Look at chapter 10 now in verse 5. That they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is in them to do good. Indicating that in the Lord, he is the one that emotes and also expresses. Well, look at the third thing here. His contrast with idols proves it. But number three, his emotions prove it. Genesis chapter 6, we're going to go back. Genesis chapter 6, and we need to hurry. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and their every imagination, thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. We see here that God is grieved. Okay, that is an emotion. We go to 1 Kings 11, verse 9, talks about the anger of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 15 talks about the fact that he is a jealous God. Revelation 3 and verse 19 speaks of the fact that he is a loving God. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, you remember the things, there are things that God does, in fact, hates. And these are emotions that come from God and that we see in the Scripture. And so we have to guard our mind from thinking that the one that formed man, the one that created everything, is somehow some distant God who does not care or communicate or has some type of personality. No. The Bible speaks contrary to that time and time again. The last thing here, number four, his involvement in the lives of people prove that. Over and over and over again, we see that God is working throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. He is working in the lives of people. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He watches over man, provides all man's needs, knows everything about man. He is the judge of the earth and controls even who the ruling, those who would rule. On and on it goes. Each of those examples prove that God has a personality. A force cannot think or do these things. And the great thing for us about this truth is Malachi 3 and verse 6. And that is the fact that he is the Lord and he changes not. So how can we take this truth that sometimes gets overlooked and sometimes causes us to feel like God is not as close to us as maybe we perceive him to be? But the fact is that these verses that we've just read are still true today, because he's an unchanging God. And he, what he was then, he is today. And whereas you and I maybe have personalities that develop over time and that maybe even go so far as to change, God's not like that. He's the same today as he was yesterday and the year before that and thousands of years before, and he'll be the same forever. It's important that we remember that God has a personality. He cares for us. He loves us. He grieves when we do wrong. And he wants us to trust him. And this is, you say, how does that meet with me practically this morning? And that's just for the fact that when you and I bow our head, when you and I go before his throne of grace, boy, he enjoys that. He responds to that.